Good morning.
It's time for the reading. Today's reading is taken from the gospel. It's taken from Genesis, chapter 6, verse 11 to 13. Genesis, chapter 6, verse 11 to 13. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their ways on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh. For the earth is filled with violence. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Thanks be to the word of God.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be here Sunday morning on the Lord's Day. Special welcome to all our guests. I believe it's Brother Ogden. I pray that I've got that right. From New Cross, we welcome you, sir. Thank you for being here in our service today. Our Sister Bernie, it's always good to have you here, travelling and being with us. To the congregation, it's just wonderful. To our students, I call you students, I shouldn't. But pray that you're all settling in well in Leicester and finding your way around. We're just delighted that you're here. And place membership with the congregation. So we're just so blessed and thankful to God for that. Janet almost made it today, then she'd all swollen up again this morning, so she's feeling rough and down in the dumps, but she stayed home again. God willing, we'll just take each day as it comes, but she's doing good. We'll break bread later today, and she sends her love to the congregation, appreciation for the prayers and love, encouragement and support. It's incredible. So yesterday I was invited to a youth day. How about that? And ironically, the two teachers were the oldest men on the planet, as far as they were concerned. There was Brother Coonley, or Elder Coonley from Northampton, was there, and myself. So we thanked them for inviting us. You know, we thought this is nice. As two old chaps at this youth day. But what a blessing, what an encouragement to see our young people, the tremendous work being done by our youth leaders, and Brother Daniel and Sister Bethany, my daughter Bethany, and Bradley with his car yesterday. We piled them in and they got them there. It was just a wonderful day. There was 109 kids there. And these kids were all from a lot of the newer congregations as well, so they're like coming from the city centre of Nottingham and the city centre of Birmingham. And do you remember that a while back we had a brother come here, he said, we're going to start a church in Luton. They're up and running, and their youth were there. And we met so many from London and various places. It was wonderful. And they gave me a title, and they asked me to talk about the place of salvation in modern day world. And ironically, we were travelling back and all, we said in the car, he says, you need to do that lesson tomorrow. You told me that, didn't you? And I said to Esther, what do you think? She said, you should do that lesson tomorrow. So our young people have directed the lesson for today. They've guided the lesson. They've told me, but adapted a little bit, they said. Because otherwise the older members may not appreciate it if you start getting them doing things, you know. But we were talking about a place of salvation in a modern day world. And I was thinking, wow, think about that. And I asked them to describe the modern day world. And they were coming up with all kinds of ideas. Well, the modern day world, you know, there's a lot of corruption, there's fighting, there's conflicts, there's wars going on. You know, they're saying it's a violent place, there's people being stabbed, there's so much going on. And I said, wow. And they just kept rolling off the list and talking about a lot of things that go on in the world today. And I said, is that the modern day? And they said, that is the modern day. That is the world that we are living in today. These are the things that we see as young people. that it's dangerous sometimes to be out at night. We have to be careful about the people that we associate with or the people that we mix with. And I said to them, listen, turn to Genesis chapter 6 in the Old Testament, one of the books in the Bible, yeah, they're the first book. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. I said, and let's read from verse 11. And he says this. Genesis 6:11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And I mentioned the topic was the place of salvation in the modern day world. And yet when you look back in the history of the recordings that our holy God has given for our benefit to learn and understand, we see that the sin and corruption that our God has to face day after day after day, throughout all generations, we see nothing but corruption and people turning their back on Him. It says, the earth was corrupt before God. In other words, the holy God looks down upon His creation and sees corruption. He sees people who have turned their back on Him. People who have turned their back on the truth. And He says the earth was filled. Filled. Filled means it's full. It's complete. And He said that the earth was filled with violence. And God, He looks and He sees, and indeed He said it was corrupt. It also says for all flesh had corrupted the way on the earth. And then we discover that what happens is God finds a man, and this man has this task that God has laid before him to build this ark. This man called Noah. And he said to Noah, the end of all the flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. But he says to Noah, look, what I'm going to do is, I am going to provide a form of salvation for the people of that time. I am going to provide a solution for that time. And I suppose you could say that that is the doorway of salvation of the past time. The door of salvation that God had laid before His people. And we see how, and one of the points I made was this, when God had this ark built, there was this man who was calling out and preaching to the people and building this ark. And God says, this is your salvation. This is your doorway to your salvation. You are corrupt. You have sinned. You have failed. But I will provide for you a way. The question is, will the people take that gift that God has blessed them with? Will they take that redemption in that time, that salvation from the peril that they are facing? You see, in the Old Testament, there in the record, we see the choices that man had made. And I referred to our youth yesterday by saying, do you see What a loving and patient God we have when he sees the sin of his men, when he sees the sin of mankind. And he provides for them a door in an ark. And he has a spokesman stand there calling the people in. And the people have that opportunity. And we mentioned how we need to notice that when the time was complete, that God closed the door on the ark. Not Noah. God closed the door on the ark. So man chose sin. One man, Noah, chose God. Man was given a salvation choice. And the question is, did they take it? You see, once the door was closed, that salvation gateway and opportunity was no more. That was it. The opportunity had been taken and it had gone and it had left. Now that was yesterday. That was in the past. I want to share with you about Moses. We referred to Moses yesterday. I want you to think about this. Moses had choices to make. There is this man, Moses, and what he does is he lands himself in the house of Pharaoh through God's power, through God's choice. If you remember, Moses was placed in the basket, in the rushes, in the bulrush, and Pharaoh's daughter found him. And he was taken into the house of Pharaoh. And Moses could have had anything that he wanted in his life. In Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. And I want you to think about this. Here is Moses. He has found himself in one of the most powerful positions. He has the ability to have all the riches and all the wealth. Listen, you go and look at some of the Pharaoh's tombs that they have that dug up. So much treasure that they bury them with. That is the kind of wealth that they even bury them with, their gold and their wealth and their riches. And here was Moses. And it says in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ's great riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. I want to draw your attention to this. By faith. Now I asked the kids today to put their hands up if they've flown on a plane, and quite a few of them put their hands up, and I said, how many of you met the pilot? You know, did you go and have lunch with the pilot before the plane took off? You don't even see the pilot. You just get on the plane and you just sit there and you look down this tube, and at the other end is a door that's closed, and behind there you're assuming the pilot's there. And he goes down the runway and the plane takes off, and you're sitting there and you have a cup of tea and you talk and relax and maybe have a little sleep and just quite content. You see, we put our faith and trust in a lot of things in life that we don't see. But we are talking about a faith in a loving, powerful, mighty God. Now, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, in other words, he was now at the age where he was able to make decisions and choices in his life. And he had choices to make. He had the wealth, he had the riches, he had the power. He could have waited until, you know, the deaths had taken place in the family. Until Pharaoh had died, he could have worked his way up. He could have had all the power he needed. And there'd have been a lot of persuasion there and people saying, if you just hang on, hang on, you'll be able to do so many things. Oh, you'll be able to do all these things. Don't you worry about that. You'll have all the riches, all the wealth, and all the power. But it says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, listen to this word, he refused. he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He made a conscious decision based on the faith that he had in his God that he was going to say no. He was going to refuse, choosing rather to suffer what affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And what do, brethren? We choose the pleasures of sin instead of letting go of these things. In other words, what he did is he said, I can have all these luxuries, I can have all this peace, I can have all this power, but my faith in God is so great that I will give it up and say no to all this power and all this wealth and all this money, and I will give it up to go and suffer with all the Christians and followers, or all the followers of God. That was his plan. Esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches. It's an awareness. So here he is. He gives up the pleasures. He gives up the wealth. He gives up the luxuries. He gives up all of these things and replaces them with suffering with the followers of God. And he replaces them with all these things that no one wants. Now, I emphasized yesterday to the younger people, and I'll say it again to our younger people today. When you become a Christian, it becomes harder. It becomes tough. And that is what happens when we are willing to let go of the things of the world and stay focused on our path to salvation. What we do is we let go of the comfort in order to go on this difficult journey, in order to stay firm and stable and secure. Why? Because we look to a reward that God is going to give us. And this reward far outweighs the riches and wealth. And just as Moses understood that even becoming a pharaoh or even having all this power, it was nothing in comparison to the gift that God was going to give. And so the treasures in Egypt meant nothing to him, because he understood the importance of God's love. So by faith, Moses refused. The question is, modern day, are we going to refuse the pleasures of this world? I'm always encouraged, and I've said this many times, and I know others as well. You know, when university students move from one part of the country to here or over the seas, and they come here on their own, they're not with family, they're not with their parents, they come here and they seek out their place of worship. And they show up. And they sit down, as our brethren did last week, and walk in and say, this is who we are. We found our place of worship. God is going to come into our lives no matter where we are in the world. And whether we're studying at universities or whatever we're doing, we're going to make sure that God is in our life. That is a sermon. That is a lesson for the whole congregation. And we thank you for that. You see, Moses says, I refuse the things of the world, because I'm focusing on the things that are important. You know, I said to the young people, one of the smallest words that we so often neglect is the word no. It's being able to say no. There are things in my life that are going to get between me and God. There are things in our lives that are going to stop our worship, or stop us from learning, or stop us from getting closer to God. Things that are going to consume our lives and take total control over all of our lives. And we have to say no. We have to say no to these things. The ability to say no can define a person's character. Because if you are grounded, if you are in a clear understanding about the gift that God has for you, it would help you to say no. And just as we saw with Moses, Moses understood that the wealth and the amazing things that God can do for him are are worth more than all the treasures that any Pharaoh could ever have. Let me ask you this, brethren. In this modern life, what motivates your decisions and choices? What is your motivation? What motivates you to make choices? You know, is it your friends? Is it your money? Is it your hobbies? Are these things that you're motivated by? I'll mention Millie. She probably won't mind. She's looking at me now. I'm in trouble. But I know yesterday, you know, she was invited to a party with some people that she went to school with. They're having an 18th party in one of the houses. And of course, she was at the youth day during the day, and she came home. She says, there's no way that I'm going to go to no party. I've just spent a day with 108 Christian young people singing praises to God and worshipping Him. Why would I want to go and sit in a house with a load of people who are probably doing things that aren't the way that we do things? What motivates your choices in this modern day? Is it your friends? Is it your money? Is it your hobbies? Is it your careers? What motivated Moses was Christ's or God's greater riches. It was God's greater riches that was his motivation. And so what should motivate us today should not be power and money and all of these things, but what should motivate us is choosing God, choosing Jesus. He can choose the pleasures and he can choose God, and that is the choice. We can do the same thing. In other words, listen, brethren, I cannot make anybody in this room choose God. I can't do anything to make you choose anything. This is all about you. This is all about your own life. Are you willing to suffer affliction? Maybe lose some money, maybe lose a career, maybe lose a family member? What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to put aside that stands in your way between your relationship with yourself and God? You see, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. And of course, we even see that with the Apostle Paul, don't we, in the New Testament. He says, by faith he chose God. Do you know faith not only demands that we say no, but it also demands that we say yes? In other words, God requires us to make a positive choice. But often choice is about rejecting one thing and accepting the other. What we try to do is accept them both. God does not give you that. The choice is, it's one or the other. And we choose them both. And God says, no, that's not choice. Choice is one or the other. And so I either give this up and accept God, or I reject God and do that. Now, whichever you choose to do, that's your choice. I have no influence over that. I cannot change that. I cannot change your mind. You could be sitting here today and probably don't want to be here. Or you can, in your own heart, might feel like, well, you know, I'm just going along. That is your choice. But faith demands that we say no. And if we have faith in God, that faith has to be shown in our action. In other words, God, I have faith in you. I will lay aside these things and I will trust you. And whatever afflictions and whatever things that I have to lose in my life, I lose because I choose you. That is choice. And that is the place of salvation in the modern day, brethren. It's dependent upon choice. You see, you can choose pleasure and you can choose God. But the question is, which will it be? How will it be? Sometimes we characterize our pleasures into little categories and say, well, it's only a little thing, or it's only a tiny thing, or it's only a small thing. It's not too great a deal. Anything that stands in the way between you and God is the choice that you have made. If you accept that, those things, they will take you away from God. And this morning, Brother Gary, clearly in his class, was talking about sin. When is sin? How much sin do we need to be a sinner? Sin is sin. And it's the same thing. Whatever we sin in our life, that is the choice that we have taken. And we have to understand. You know, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. And of course, as we see that calling upon the people of that time, what he's saying is you've got to make a choice in your life. I've set before you decisions for you to make in your life. The question is, which will you choose? That was the question. The answer was up down to the individual. In Matthew 7 and verse 13, we talk about the entering through the narrow gate. It says, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through. And we were talking yesterday saying, why do many enter through it? Because, listen, you can take all your stuff with you. You want to go through the wide gate, you load your car up with whatever you like. Take your sins, take your bad habits, take all the things that you're not willing to change. Take your rejection for God, take your failings in studying and you're not willing to pray, you're not willing to take all those things, load them on that cart and just haul them down that wide road. You've got plenty of space. And when you get to the gate, you'll haul the lot through. You'll have no problem. That is why they call it the easy road. It's easy because you don't have to give anything up. And that is why people choose it. But he says that small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Only a few want it. Who wants to go down a road that is so narrow that you haven't got space for sin? He's saying that all those little sins, I have to get them out of the way, and I'm going along, and it's almost like you're squeaking down the path, touching either sides, and you're just trying to lay things aside. Because what you are trying to do is make it as possible for you to get through that road to the end. Because when you come through that small gate, listen, there'll be no room to take all your sin with you. You won't be able to take your selfishness. You won't be able to take your greed, your anger, your hatred. All of those things will not go through the gate. He says it's a small gate. It's a narrow road. It leads to life. But only a few will find it. Because this world is full of people just hurtling down that wide road and seeking to get to their destiny. And quite content and quite okay. You see, you imagine if Moses tried to do the will of God and still carrying on with all the things that he had that held him back. You see, brethren, this is a message for me and you as well, all of us. There are things in life that are going to stop us making heaven. And we've got to try and deal with them. There are things in this life that are holding us back. There are things in this life that are going to make it that you won't make it through that gate. And that is my plea. My plea to you all. Listen. The question, have you given your life to Christ? In baptism, are you a Christian? Have you been immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins? And we talk often, we refer to the passages, Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you see, hearing and listening is your choice. First of all, you can hear things, but not listen to them. I've spent many a time where my mother, as I was growing up and as a child, she'd be telling me things and I'd sit there smiling and she'd say, you are not listening. She says, you're hearing, but you're not listening. You know, and she's telling me things. And week after week, we stand and we share this powerful message of salvation. Listen, God says, I need you to hear my message. I don't want you to hear and let it go through and out. I want you to take it in. I want it to touch your heart. Because what does he say? He says, faith. Faith in me. You see, do you remember? By faith, Moses made his decision in his God. And the word of God says that the faith comes by hearing, and God wants you to hear in him. He wants it to go in and change your life and touch your hearts. And we talk about, you know, a whole aspect of how we conceive this life. And Mark 16 talks about believing. He who believes. And you see, God says that's your choice. He wants you to hear in here, and he wants you to believe. Just as we get on a plane and somebody says there's a pilot at the front, we've heard that, he's there. And we believe it as the plane's going down the runway. And you see, this is what Moses did. He heard God and he believed him. And so he was able to make good decisions with his life because of that. But the choice was his, whether he believed or not. It was his choice. It was completely down to him. Luke 13 talks about turning your life around, repenting. You know, again, we see Moses had to change direction. And so he heard that God was there. He believed that God was there. But now he had to change his direction. One minute he's heading towards being this powerful man with all this wealth. The next minute he's turning around and heading towards all the troubles, all the problems. He's heading to the rough waters. He's heading towards some difficulties and struggles. It was a decision he made. Why did he make the choice? He made the choice because he heard and he believed. And because he heard and believed, the choice was made because of it. Philippians 2 verse 9 through 11, therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now I cannot make you confess Christ as Lord. Just as much as no human being could make Moses confess God as his God. We cannot make that decision for you. You have to make that your choice. Have you got the faith? Have you heard? Do you believe? Are you willing to turn your life around? Are you going to confess him as your Lord and Saviour? And then, of course, in Acts 2, we talk about the repentance. The being baptized and giving their life to him in baptism. And we see how we, brethren, as Christians, need to make these decisions. You see, baptism is a total immersion. When is the right time to be baptized? Listen, if you can answer all those questions and say, I believe, it's time. Am I too young? Well, it's said. It said that Moses, when he came of age, in other words, when he was able to make his decisions, when he was able to make these choices, we have to make these decisions when you will know, when you are ready to make these choices. There's people who have come to me in the past to be baptized, and I've talked with them and I said, listen, I don't think it's time yet. I don't think you're ready yet. I would study more. I would understand more and become more stronger in your understanding and knowledge. Well, there are other people who may come quite young, but have the understanding and say, I do believe. I've heard the message. I do believe. I want to turn my life around. I want to confess him as my Lord. I want to be baptized because I want to be saved and I want to enter the kingdom of God. And so here we have a baptistry that we put a bit of water in. And people can go down into that baptistry and we immerse them in the water and bring them up out of that water. And that is the act that enables them to not only have the forgiveness of sins, but also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Of course, Revelation 2 verse 10 then talks about, we talked about it, a difficult journey ahead of us. It's not going to be easy. But he calls upon his people to remain faithful, hang in there. I know it's going to be difficult. Remember, we said that Moses gave up all the riches of the earth, all the riches of Egypt, to face the struggles and tribulations of being a follower of God. That, brethren, is our destiny and our journey. Now, there are two roads. Two roads. There's the easy one, and there's the difficult one. One goes to hell, and one goes to heaven. And so, as we talked about in the beginning, we said the place of salvation in this modern day, in this modern world, as God created that ark, and as Noah called upon the people, they laughed at him and mocked him. They laughed and mocked because they just did not understand. They just did not hear the message in here. They could hear this man who just sounded crazy, talking about some crazy thing in the middle of a desert. And they think he's mad. They just did not hear it. And those, him and his family, would have faced ridicule and laughter. But they chose God. And they, at the right time, entered the ark. And then God closed the door. At that time, there would have been a lot of people that would have wished that they just paid a bit more attention. And so my prayer today is that we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, as in we need to take it seriously. I want to encourage everybody here. Listen, this is an important, serious topic. And we urge you, you know, if you want to know more, we are ready to come and talk to you. If you want to understand more, if it's not clear enough, if there's things that you don't quite understand or things you want to ask, we urge you to do that. And I'm talking about, I don't care how old you are, if you're at an understanding age and you speak to your parents and talk to them about it. But listen, this is serious. I pray that God will stir each one of us, not only to come to him, but also to stay with him. And so to the church, to the members, hang in there and be faithful and strong. Make choices in your life that don't affect your eternal salvation. Because this is important. And the time is short. We don't know when the time will come, but it's coming. And that door will close. Let's have an invitation in. Let's rise.